going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We have not gotten to this point yet, but I do think it's... I think there's a difference between need and want, but I'll ask you, do the Cavs need Darius Garland in Game 2?
Yeah, I think they do. And I'm okay with even 70% of Darius, 75% of Darius. I just think what he brings to this team is just... I'm not going to turn this into crapping all over Ty Jerome because I hate doing that, but it's just... it's a night and day difference. I think we need Darius, and at this point, I would stress to Darius... It's time. You need to be on the court now.
I don't think you needed Darius in game one. Like, I don't think the difference. I don't think Darius would have made much of it. I know people will say, well, the shot creating abilities, fine, but no one was getting into a set. They were just running the ball down the court, looking and going, well, I guess I'm going to go to the paint there, and I'm going to throw up a lazy kind of floater. Like, that was half of Ty Jerome's plays there. I think Darius might do the same thing. I don't think they were ready for that game, and I don't think Darius playing through the toe
Wait,
injury.
I thought you were asking for game two.
I know, but I'm setting this up to say I don't think Darius would have made the difference in game one. I don't think he should make the difference in game two. I think when Darius is ready to be the best version of himself, Darius should be out there. I don't think you should need Darius to beat Indiana.
I was perfectly cool with their plan, and I don't know that this was or wasn't, but if their plan was until we lose, Darius doesn't see the court, I was okay with that thought process. But you can't go down 2-0. You go down 2-0, and all of a sudden you have a real problem on your hands, and that's what you're in danger of having on Tuesday. Like it's... it's there, and I do. I think they need to get a little bit better, and one way to do that is have Darius out there.
If Darius is, I really struggle with that, meaning the need part. I'd like Darius out there. If Darius is healthy enough to go in game two, you'll never get me. I'm not one of those weird Ty Jerome truthers who used a 2-game span against a god-awful Miami team to denigrate Darius Garland. No, the Cavs are absolutely a better team with Darius. But if the Cavs' plan has been, we're going to slow play it with Darius for as long as we can, I don't think just losing a game should be the thing that breaks glass in case of emergency here. Like, if you think, well, listen, now DeAndre's got a thumb, Evan's got this ankle injury that's been tweaked, Donovan's clearly not 100% whether he's on the list, okay, maybe the math is in those details right there. But, like, run your offense. In game two.
Yeah, but Darius,
don't,
and
don't
Darius
succumb
can do that, though.
To Indiana. Well, yeah, okay, but...
He's much better at running the offense.
Yeah, but I think the whole point of this offense is you don't really need a point guard.
But I also think the difference, too, though, I mean, Ty Jerome, he's slow. He's not fast at all, and that's part of his game. That's fine. That's okay. And I don't know. If you want to tell me that's part of Darius at 75%, is that he can't get to the basket and he can't do basically whatever he wants at will the way that we've seen him do it, then it's a different conversation. But if you're going to present to me the Darius that can use his speed and can be quicker than a lot of these guys, then, yeah, it's a very important part for the Cavs.
No, nobody's saying he's not important. The point is, like, if If I tend to believe that Darius wouldn't have been some difference maker in game one because of the things that ailed you, I kind of feel the same way about game two. Like, you need Darius back when he's at his best self and when he's ready to be his best self.
I don't think you're getting that this postseason, though.
I think if they've sat him for as long as they have.
They've said he will be dealing with this the whole entire rest of the postseason.
But I think the idea that they have been this patient with it tells you that they know the more rest they get for him right now, the better for later on.
Oh,
yes?
it told me that they just didn't think that the Pacers were going to be something they necessarily had to really consider was a 6-7 game series and something they were was going to be some sort of roadblock for him. But after game one, the Pacers can be a roadblock.
I think that's a massive overreaction to one game. I think the Cavs were the bigger problem in game one rather than just some magic pill that the Pacers took that gave them twice the strength and twice the power. Like, this is no, listen, Indiana played the best version of their game, and God bless them. It was a great game. Like, if the roles were reversed, if I'm an Indiana fan right now, I'm talking all levels of mess. The increments in which the Cavs have to play better, like, we're talking about infinitesimal improvements from game one to game two to be able to beat that Pacers team, because they played the best game we'll ever see from them. They've done a trade-off all year long. It's been, we're going to focus a little harder on defense, knowing that that might take us a little out of the offense that we like to play. Well, they didn't have to choose yesterday. I'll imagine if you just show up and actually are ready to play the Pacers in game two, I'll imagine you'll be ready to actually beat them.
I mean, Cavs still scored 112. I mean, I don't want to treat this like the Cavs scored 86 points or anything. It's like, it was impressive how they scored 112 and the offense wasn't really there.
Yeah. I mean, they did it because the Pacers just gave them everything. The Pacers did what the Heat dared them to do the first two games of that series, where the Heat were just like, you can have any shot
in the
post that you want.
They understood a Ty Jerome 2-point shot is way more beneficial to them than anything.
Now, what's wild is in that game, you saw the Heat shore up in the intermediate, and it opened up shots. I think the Cavs planned at some point that the Pacers would make that same trade and be like, man, they're gouging us. What, 70 points in the paint? And then it never happened, and then they just didn't have some. Like, I think they were prepared for the Pacers to turtle on this one, and then when it didn't happen, they were the ones that turtled. So to me, the improvement from game one to game two isn't about Darius. Like, I don't like the idea of, all right, one game induces panic and Darius has to get out. Like Thomas said, Darius has to get over his toe injury. Like it's an emotional bruise inflicted by like a mean step parent. Like, no, it's a real injury.
You go to therapy for that, Darius.
And you need to be out there when you can be the best version of yourself to whatever extent that can be. If you need Darius to beat this Pacers team in game two, you might not have a chance in this series. If that panic thought of you need Darius or you're not winning game two, the series might already be a sunk cost.
I mean, I thought you needed him to beat Boston for sure. And so, yeah, the way that this series is looking right now, I do. I think you need Darius. I think anything needs to be out there.
216-474-0092. Does Darius have to play in game two? I've heard a lot of people pound this drum today.
How cautious do you think the Cavs will be here? Like, I thought it was interesting that Atkinson in the post game was talking about 60% Darius. Because we've been putting percentages on it, and we don't know. We're not his doctor. We have no idea. But I thought it was interesting because that's the ballpark that we've been playing with, like 60-70%, somewhere in that range, and then what he can offer up. Because the speed he plays with and how fast he is, well, you just can't replicate that. There's nobody else on this team that can replicate what Darius can do that would fill in for Darius from that perspective.
I mean, I think it also depends on, because it's not just about the two games, the 2 days in between, you know, yesterday's game and tomorrow. It's also you have 3 days in between game two and game three.
Yeah.
So you have an extended bit of rest here. So in totality, it's potentially 5 days of rest in a row plus all the other rest that you've gotten versus him going and playing tomorrow night and then getting three rest.
I know, but it is something they told us that will be with him the entire postseason. Well, but when they said that, did they mean that it's 80% if he rests, or is it always going to be at that 60-65% range?
That's the part we don't know.
Like, we just don't know.
That absolutely is the part we don't know.
If we had that information, it would definitely help.
But like, well, I mean, granted.
Nope, this convo at least.
If we had that information, that Indy would have that information. But I mean, I would imagine, like, I think what's going to happen is, win, lose, or draw, if the Cavs don't play Darius tomorrow, even if they win, let's go on they win. It's a comfortable win. The balance is restored in the universe. I think Darius and or the Cavs are going to start taking heat over this. That this isn't Jarrett's rib injury. We're not. I don't think we should be redoing or relitigating this again just to weaponize against a player.
We don't have to call up one of the Morris twins?
No, it's a matter.
Get their thoughts on it.
Now we got to get Markeith on it.
That's right.
We heard from Marcus on it.
Where's
Markeith? We're going to go to the other Morris twin, the lesser, as some call him.
Wouldn't it be funny if, as hard in the pain as Marcus went, Markeith is just a sweetheart?
What if he was just like, listen, toe injuries, they hurt, man. Yeah, you ever stub your toe?
You know, this is painful. This is painful stuff that he has to deal with.
I'm not going to put anyone's name on it because I've heard four people in trying to relate to Darius's toe injury using the
talk about their toe injury.
You ever stub your toe?
Lima did it.
Yeah. I wasn't putting names on it because it wasn't just Lima.
I wanted to. I only heard Lima.
No, I heard there were several shows in town doing the I stubbed my toe and I'm out for like 3 days.
That's like when
I'm
someone,
like, guys, it's not the damn same. All right.
Yeah.
His toe injury and your toe injuries are two different toe injuries.
No, that we get this with back problems all the time. Any player that has a back injury, we get calls upon calls about their specific back injury and how it affected them.
The difference is with
always back injuries.
Back injuries suck.
Well, but
when you have back injury, everybody goes, ooh. Back injuries, not to play
with. That's because everyone knows that they suck.
When you say somebody has a toe injury, they're like, yeah, I just stubbed my toe. Like, I don't. What are we doing here? It's like, okay, you stubbed your toe. He has a toe sprain. I do like that we're calling it the great toe, right?
Instead of like the West End toe?
I think it was the left great toe. And I was like, all right.
The left great toe.
This is some branding, right?
How did big toe settle on this?
Yeah. Well, no, because big toe,
Well, you know what toe they're talking about when you say the left great toe?
Yeah. Yeah, none of the inferior toes we're dealing with here. We're talking about the great toe.
Is your great toe bigger than the toe that sits to the right of your great toe on your left foot?
Are you asking me to talk about the size of my toes on air?
Yeah, there's something to the idea. Some people have the left great toe be bigger than the one to the right of it on your left.
Right inferior toe.
And some have it the other inverted the other way.
I don't need the extra quarter inch. I think they might be the same length.
You have same length, great toe, and toe next to the great toe that we need branding for?
I think so.
Should be the middle toe?
I don't think that's the middle toe. No, that's, it
what's
can't
the branding?
Be the middle toe.
There's got to be official documentation on how we call these things.
Well, because we got the great toe, we got the pinky toe, and then there's the totations. There's like the...
the totations. Sounds like a bad name.
I was trying to go with Gladys Knight and the Pimps.
May not have played at Bowling Green State at one point in life.
It's the Totations. Their biggest fan is Rex Ryan.
$5 cover charge. Quentin Tarantino.
216-474.
Now we're just naming people that have foot fetishes.
092. Say the one about the great left toe again.
Say it with your chest. Say it with conviction.
Does Darius have to play in game two? No more on the totations coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. There was one thing that kind of made headlines over the weekend, and that was Dane Brugler, who my co-host has still not gotten over the
Schislander.
The Schislander, as it's been called. Are you ready to talk? Are you in a safe place to talk about Dane Brugler? Or would you like a minute? Wait, I can give you about... Give you about 90 seconds. You know,
I mean, I've sussed out what he does.
All right, so we're going to get to that in a second, but we were asking great toe, big toe, pinky toe. Well, Mac, who is our research analyst on the show.
Ooh, good title for you.
Has gotten to the bottom of, we can just make up, I mean, look in the corporate world. All these people do is, look at the Browns organization. They just make up names of jobs that they sound like a job they want to have.
Yeah, put that on your resume and then have someone call me and be like, research analyst for your guys' show. Yeah. How did that go?
He Googled, what are the names of the five toes?
What did that look like? That sounds impressive. Must have been a big data guy.
So research analyst Mac, break down the toe situation for us.
He's
here.
A big D guy, all right.
Big data. That's how I roll. But the big toe is labeled as that innermost toe. Second toe is often referred to as the pointer toe the index toe.
Why is it the pointer toe? I know why this finger is the pointer finger, because you pointed people with it.
I think they just kind of associate that.
That second toe goes with a crowd. It never points in, like, it's not like a divining rod, like, there's water over there. No. Wherever the other toes go, okay, all right, sorry.
Third toe is the middle toe.
Oh, wow. Shocker. They really thought about
nailed
that
it.
One.
Nailed it. I love all the
really
thought,
nailed that one.
Everything that went into this, and then we'll call it the middle.
The fourth toe is the ring toe.
Okay. Why? Do you have an explanation there? I know you and not have researched
somebody got
that
really
far.
Lazy. They just took everything on the hand and just moved it to
think
the toe.
It's just, I think it's just the hand, what you name the fingers, and then you know, put that towards...
So we're just treating all phalanges the same.
Pretty
no matter
much.
Whether you're... Okay.
Apparently. And then the last toe is the little toe, or also known as the pinky toe, baby toe, or small toe.
Who? That's a weird... If you... just stub my small toe! If you say that, I think... I was here for pinky toe. I was here for baby toe. Although that's got a different connotations. You shouldn't be within a school like 500 yards of a school if you call it a baby toe. But what was that last one again? I've already forgotten about it.
Small toe.
Small toe. Small toe energy. All right, you ready now?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Now we got the toe clarification there.
Yeah, it got me so bothered about Brugler, I couldn't even get into the toe talk.
Well, get ready for this, because he was on the Scoop City podcast this last week.
Diana, what are we doing?
Diana, Travis Hunter, he's generational. Diana. And Dane.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Broke down the Travis Hunter trade and who would have been the number two pick in this draft had he declared for it.
The Travis Hunter trade, like, I think that is going to be my lasting memory of this class, is Jaguars being bold, getting someone that's going to help them on offense and defense. And then what does this mean for the Browns moving forward? It's a pretty exciting quarterback class next year. There's not like a Caleb Williams or a Drake May where it's like, oh, there's an obvious number one guy, but there's a lot of talent at quarterback. And it's funny, Drew Aller is one of them from Penn State. If Drew Aller would have declared, he probably would have been the number two pick to his hometown Browns. But he goes back to Penn State, and now we'll be talking about him. We'll be talking about Arch Manning. We'll see what happens this year with the two rookies and all that. But the Browns next year going into that draft will be so pivotal for them and for all the jobs in that building.
All right. You ready for the hottest take I have on this?
Yeah, what is it?
I think if Drew Aller had come out this year, I think he might have been the number one pick in the draft.
So, like, that's the compliment that Dane was supposed to give off. Because
yeah.
Dane is the originator of if whoever's
all
number
in for Aller.
No, he's the originator of the idea that Cam Ward would be the sixth or seventh best quarterback in last year's class.
Uh-huh.
So are you really giving him that much of a compliment if you still stick him behind Cam Ward this year?
I
don't think you are.
I just think he didn't do the thing of like, where does he didn't play the math out in front of us about whether he would have taken him over Cam. I think in the NFL, if you give him, we've got a guy who's played college football for 5 years, but might be the seventh best quarterback in the draft, or Drew Aller, who's only started for a year and a half, 2 years, incredibly raw. I think they're taking the incredibly raw guy. I think they're taking the ridiculous ceiling of Drew Aller.
I mean, Cam Ward has a ridiculous ceiling, though.
I don't think he. I think it's relative. I think he had a better ceiling than Shador Sanders and everybody else.
Is the ceiling for Drew Aller really? Is it really that high? You know, I'm not high on him right now. I'm going to give Drew the season to go ahead and.
You giving him the Peterlin pass till this season?
Well, I'm giving him based off of what Dane said. I mean, that puts lofty expectations considering the four out of the last five games I watched him play, he didn't throw for 200 yards. In that Notre Dame playoff game, he threw for 135, had an interception, and was just downright not good at football, Nick.
I think people have put Drew through this series of is he a Manning family member? Like this ridiculous high bar for him, and I get it. Like he should have it. He was a top prospect coming out, and you know, for that school to have really competed for a championship this year, they needed him to play really well. I actually think the numbers don't tell the tape on. I think he's actually a really good quarterback.
I would hope not, because his numbers really aren't very good.
They're just not. He's not an offense where they're asking him to throw 40 times a game.
So, and that's why there's a lot of projection attached to him.
Yeah, he is still raw. Like there is a lot of room to grow. I think people are. To me, this is the same case of if you judged Joe Burrow. 1 year before he came out, you would have screamed your head off if he was the number one pick in the draft.
And again, that's why I'm giving him the year.
But I think like there's a lot of mock drafts out there saying, hey, Drew Aller, he's going to be the number two pick by the Browns, the number seven pick by the Browns. And I see Browns fans just melting down. It's like, guys, now, in fairness, I have rebuttal for this, but guys, just give the kid a chance because he does have every physical tool you could want. He is big. He is athletic. He's got a very strong arm. I think he's more accurate than he's given credit for. Like, I think the kid has special traits. Now, the problem is I hate everything James Franklin has ever done for young quarterbacks. If I could have steered this kid anywhere.
Is it going to be Hackenberg?
I worry about, I don't know about Hackenberg.
Hackenberg was throwing, I mean, there were lightning bolts from Zeus in college. He was incredible in college, and then it just went nowhere.
But that is like, I will go to my grave. If Drew Aller isn't a top 10 pick next year, I will go to my grave just knowing it was Franklin that screwed him up.
Wow. Well, I mean, think about it. The way you described him, and listen, I've told you, I'm not as high on Drew as maybe you are, but the way you've described him, James Franklin is a bona fide idiot. If he does what he did last year for Drew, this following year, where he makes it a lot about the running game, he involves the tight end in an awful ton, and he doesn't really let him try to flourish. And we both know James Franklin's probably going to go down that road, because he always goes down that road. But it's just dumb beyond dumb to have someone of that caliber, if he really is that caliber of a quarterback, and then do him like that.
I mean, in fairness...
It's kind of like what Heupel did to Nico last year. Anyways,
well, I was actually going to say you could make the case that Ryan Day has held back his quarterbacks based off, like, we never saw C.J. Stroud move and run the way he did until the Georgia game.
And I thought that was incredibly dumb as well.
Oh, no. But
how do you have C.J. Stroud-type talent, and then you put the governor on there? That's so stupid.
Like, James Franklin really is like a C-list version of Ryan Day.
Yeah, I like that take.
I felt good when
that one should have felt good. Yeah.
Now, here's the only reason I don't want Drew Aller to be a Cleveland Brown a year from now is because it is going to be Mitchell Trubisky times 10. It will. And maybe it might be lessened because he's from Medina and not from, I mean, literally right down the road in Menor, but like.
You just don't want the phone calls and the constant conversation around it, or what do you not want?
I just think that people...
it's not like Trubisky ever got to play here.
People, it's going to be, okay, it's going to be another iteration of Shador where we argue everything but what matters. Like, which is his ceiling, the situation he was in college, the situation he'll be in if he comes to Cleveland next year. Like, those are the things that will determine whether Drew should be that pick. There's going to be a fair amount of people that don't want him because he's from here. There's going to be a fair amount of people that want him because he's from here. There's going to be a fair amount of people who are extra hard on him because he is from here. The conversation is going to be, it's going to be a lot.
I get it. You want the football to be the one, to be the thing that does the talking.
I mean, that's like, that was our North Star during the Shador conversation where you and I just could not see eye to eye was, I didn't see a franchise quarterback talent, and you saw something more than I did. But that was it wasn't how much does Deion matter in this? Because you and I successfully, neither of us thought that mattered. Like, but I know, like, it's going to be impossible to have those conversations. And much like Shador, like, anytime you brought up a good thing about Shador, it became, well, you just want Shador because of content, or you just want Shador because you've already made up your decision. the Aller thing's going to be that on steroids.
Oh, that'll totally happen. It'll almost negate you just liking him to like him.
Whereas,
I'm not saying you, I'm saying I'll get in the general, though.
I've planted my flag.
You've been liking him since last year.
No one has planted it on Drew.
By the way, we do have breaking NBA news, if you'd like that.
Is it good news?
I got news for you.
Okay, it's good news.
I like good news.
Good news. Yeah, I'm sorry the way I presented that in the day that's been bad for the Cavs.
The way you said that, I was like...
Sorry about that. That's my bad.
Is Moondog dead? Like, where are we going here, dog?
Whammer! What happened? Shams reporting that Kenny Atkinson has won the NBA Coach of the Year.
There we go.
So,
there we go.
Kenny Atkinson, Coach of the Year.
Out-coached by Rick Carlisle.
So Cleveland continues to have as many Coaches of the Year as you could possibly vote with last year, and then Stefanski with two Coach of the Year awards, and now Atkinson has his Coach of the Year award.
Like
the prerequisite to being a coach in this city is winning Coach of the Year.
I one of my biggest confidences in going to game two is Kenny Atkinson. Well, okay, it's that locker room. I know they're not going to let what we saw happen in game one happen again. And it's having a coach who will say the obvious thing. He should have said in game one, but saying the obvious thing of, guys, we're not passing the ball. We're also allowing the one extra pass to get us out of our own defensive routine. Lock in. So I'm very happy for Kenny, though.
I mean, it started to become tight down the stretch there, right? Ime Udoka was charging. JB Bickerstaff was charging. It's good that Kenny got the job done.
Can you imagine if America just watched JB Bickerstaff all down his own self in the second half? I mean, the Pistons rightfully should have beat. The Pistons with a different coach in that series. I think that series is still going.
They don't rest Thompson for the 4 minutes of play.
If not, the
your defensive
the Pistons,
wizard.
The Pistons win that series.
Yeah.
It would have been really funny if just after watching JB Bickerstaff mess himself on national television, which we did for two straight playoffs, then he had won. That would have been the only silver lining. Even though I don't have anything against JB, I'm annoyed by him in the playoffs.
Are they also going to present this one before a postseason game that then no one talks about afterwards? Because the team...
Probably.
Like Mobley in many ways did get robbed last night.
Well, I don't know. Mobley played fine. I was going to be like, well, you didn't play enough.
He played fine, but yeah. Like the conversation after the game had nothing to do with him getting and being presented as Defensive Player of the Year award.
I mean, in fairness...
Does it matter, I guess? Does it not matter?
In fairness, at no point... Could you do anything during these games, any sort of award, outside of MVP, that is going to get you talked about with how the game's going? Unless it's a blowout.
They would have asked the teammates different questions about that stuff, but the moment the game went the way that it did, those questions were out the door.
So, can we agree, all in for Aller or Al in? Can we agree that that's where we're going from here?
Al in? We might have to ask the Cavs first. Was that Jake saying, yeah, not bad?
No,
that was bad.
That was a drop.
Yeah. Oh, it sounded just like Jake when he's in that studio across the way there.
Yeah.
That sounds just a little funny to me.
I think that's a land.
Because he speaks from the clouds is what's happening there. I was like, that's the time you want to chime in there, Jake? Okay, if that's what you want.
Yeah, it was bad.
So are you going to be anti-Drew Aller because Dayton Brugler was anti-Shador?
I need this on the record now, but I told you this with the playoff game again before he even played Notre Dame in that playoff game. I told you I wasn't a fan. Now, I'll give him the season to go ahead and show me something different. I watched the Ohio State game. He didn't look good, didn't throw a single touchdown pass, had a really bad pick. We watched the playoff game. I watched way too much Penn State football to come away convinced that he would be the number two overall pick or even is worthy of being anything in the top five. But
what about the other playoff games where he was actually really good?
No, he wasn't really good, though. He didn't throw for 200 yards in four out of the last five games.
I mean, he made crucial throws late in the game to help them advance to as far as they advance. Last playoff game, he totally
messed himself. I mean, the Notre Dame and Ohio State game, he's got to show me in the biggest games, the Notre Dame game, Ohio State game, that doesn't happen again this next
year. Like the other playoff games?
That wasn't the Notre Dame game.
Those seemed pretty big.
And that wasn't the Ohio State game. And I already told you, his numbers were not crazy great in those games either. So, like, it's like, where's his 300-yard game, Nick?
Oh, God. Are we?
Where's that?
He completed
less than 60% of his passes, Nick. Get him a little bit more accurate. I'm not saying he's done and buried. It's just you ask me what I like and don't like. I told you what I don't like.
216-474-0092. Dane Brugler said if Drew Aller had been in this draft, he would have gone number two. How do we feel about that thought process? I still think he would have been in contention to go number one, if not going number one. And in case you missed it, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.